Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ambuja Cements ACC Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Investec Capital Services. Please note, this call is only for buy-side and sell-side analysts. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ritesh Shah, Analyst Materials, Head Mid-Market Coverage, ESG from Investec Capital Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. I, on behalf of Investec, thank you for joining Ambuja Cements ACC Limited Q3 FY23 conference call. We shall have a detailed business update from the management and the way forward. Today we have with us Mr. Karan Adani, Chairman, ACC, and Director, Ambuja Cements. We also have Mr. Ajay Kapur, CEO, Cement Business, and Mr. Vinod Bahety, CFO, Cement Business. I would hand over the call for the prepared remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, Vinod.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ritesh. Thanks, Lizanne. Good morning, all of you. On behalf of Mr. Karan Adani, Mr. Ajay Kapur, myself, and on behalf of the management team, I welcome all of you. Thank you for joining us today for the analyst call. Let me provide some highlights of the performance of December quarter, and I will right now discuss on a consolidated basis. This has been our first full-fledged quarter under the new promoter, Adani Group. The company has, in real sense, embarked on a transformational journey, which has resulted in sizable operational efficiencies across all the business parameters, and which has resulted into a good jump in the financial performance quarter-on-quarter. On the industry level, the cement industry saw higher capacity production with a good pickup in demand during the quarter. We have seen a healthy increase in our top line of around 11%, coupled with a good reduction in the overall cost. The cost optimization is led by reduction in the overall fuel cost, and which I will speak a little more in detail, and the other operational efficiencies. This has helped us to improve the EBITDA margins, which has expanded by 8% from 6.1% to 14.4%. A notable point here is also the synergies between both the companies, the parent company, Ambuja, and its subsidiary, ACC, as well as with Adani Group. On the EBITDA level, EBITDA has jumped by 161% at an absolute amount of 1,138 crores quarter-on-quarter. This is led by a higher revenue base of 8,036 crores, and we expect this trend to continue in the coming quarters when we will see a full impact of our performance improvement levers. Net revenue was sequentially up by 11% and year-on-year 4%. With our new capacity of Ametha, which we are targeting, it will be commissioning somewhere in March, and the commercial production will start somewhere in Q2. This includes 3.3 million tons of, say, clinker capacity and 1 million tons of, say, grinding unit, and also debottlenecking of additional capacity and asset sweating. We expect our top line to be moving healthy going forward. We have a strong product portfolio, a strong brand, legacy strong brands, along with the premium products in our core markets, and we continue to have market leadership on those core markets. Overall, an important factor on a per metric ton, my cost has come down by 283 rupees, which itself gave a bump to the EBITDA by 220 crores. As I said in my earlier remarks, fuel cost has been a mover in this factor. We expect to optimize further our cost by leveraging the synergies from the adjacency businesses of Adani Group, apart from our initiatives on improving overall efficiency factors. On the volume front, we achieved growth of 7%, and as I mentioned, the trend continues to be positive on back of the increased capex on the housing, on the infrastructure. Budget has been also very positive for this sector. On the cost front, some of the key achievements, and these are like the operational factors quarter on quarter. Kiln fuel cost has substantially reduced from rupees 2.84 per 1,000 kilocalories to rupees 2.45 per 1,000 kilocalories, thereby resulting into an overall decline of, say, 14%. Logistics cost reduced by almost 6%, and it is now residing at 1339 rupees per ton, and we have furthermore initiatives planned here to bring it down. The raw material cost has come down 5% from 703 rupees per ton to rupees 667 rupees per ton. On a standalone basis for Ambuja Cements, it has also recorded a substantial jump in the sequential EBITDA by 103% at rupees 715 crores. The net revenue sequentially up by 13% and year-on-year by 11%. It stands at 4218 crores, and volume is up by 11%. The robust sequential PAT growth by 166% and Y-on-Y PAT growth by 46% to 369 crores, which in real sense, the momentum has begun for all the initiatives being taken. EBITDA margin expanded both sequentially and Y-on-Y at 17.5%, while on a consolidated basis, we were at 14.4%, but Ambuja standalone is on a higher side at 17.5%. The company remains zero debt, debt-free, with a healthy position of cash and cash equivalents close to 9,500 crores, to be precise, 9,454 crores. This augurs very well for the journey to achieve scale, market leadership. Apart from, the whole idea is to serve on the lowest cost basis in the natural markets. Working capital remains a key focus area for us, and we have seen a good improvement in the overall inventory as well as the trade receivables, which have come down, what we say, the DSO, which has come down from 10 days to 8 days. Ambuja Cement remains committed to achieving significant size, scale, and market leadership with strong emphasis on margin expansion. The base has been created in December, and it is quarter on quarter we are expecting to be better from here, and adhering to the world-class ESG standards. And we'll discuss more about the ESG achievements both the companies have achieved. On the growth part, we remain committed to increase our waste heat recovery system capacity to almost 190 megawatt by March 2025 from the existing close to 65 megawatt as of December 22. So which is almost 125 megawatt plans to increase this factor. We have relaunched our green initiatives of using the waste management under GeoClean. We plan to accelerate higher consumption of waste material. This quarter, we saw the highest ever AFR consumption, which we will continue and improve it further so that the thermal substitution rate of the plants we achieve to our target of 30% by 2027. To further strengthen our ESG leadership, Ambuja's sustainability strategy is led by its Sustainable Development Plan of 2030, which we have covered in detail in our analyst presentation, which was released yesterday. Our ESG highlights make us proud. If I just have to give one or two examples, Ecomax Tank Concrete, which has been launched to augment green solutions in RMC business, and we see a good growth in the RMC. So Ecomax will help us to have green solutions there. Significant thrust, I highlighted about WHRS, I mentioned about AFR, and of course, we are going to also use group's strength on the renewable power. This will help us to improve substantially on our objective of circular and green economy. Water governance, a key factor, Ambuja is by far the leader because we are 8 times water positive. And on the sustainable livelihood, women empowerment, rural infrastructure, the social inclusion, we have a very robust CSR initiatives led by Adani Foundation, also Ambuja Foundation, and the teams, all of them are collaborating very, very well. The company has won several awards, recognitions for its outstanding work in ESG, the water positivity, the circular economy and CSR, which I won't repeat because that has been shared in detail in the investor presentation. So let me conclude by saying that our business fundamentals remain very strong. We are well positioned to continue with our growth trajectory and remain market leader in the segment. Now I request Mr. Ajay Kapoorji also to give a broad overview on the strategy and the way forward. Over to Ajayji.
Thank you, Vinod. Good morning to everyone. Very happy to address all of you on our first investor call post Adani Group's acquisition of ACC and Ambuja. As already highlighted by Vinod, and as already you know, you would have seen our investor deck, what we are trying to achieve is largely a three-step approach. First is here and now. We want to improve our operational performance. We had engaged, even before we had acquired consultants to work with us, we are very happy to say that all the efficiency improvement projects are now underway, and we expect to start seeing the benefits of improved waste heat recovery, alternate fuels, our flash drying investments, improved clinker factor, product mix, playing on the power of ACC Ambuja brands and also premium products. We have started re-looking at the logistics, which we believe we have a very strong fundamental positions in Ambuja with our western coast service through railway mode. We were one of the pioneers in starting the hub and spoke model of cement grinding units way back 20 years. We are bringing it back with full force. We are taking full advantage of the adjacencies within our Adani Group. We will be looking at own wagons. We will be looking at terminals, grinding stations in time to come as part of our vision to become the lowest cost to serve. And I repeat, cost to serve, because it's not just cost of production, it's also how you reach the market. And then I would also relay our plan to double our capacity from 67.5 to 140. And we have already initiated actions in all these areas. As we say this, we are also, you know, aware that ESG remains a fundamental focus and the pillar on which the entire working and strategy rests. We are mindful of the customer excellence. Therefore, we are launching in this leg now, next set of initiatives to service our customers. We have taken some initiatives in improving direct from factory dispatches. These numbers are already reflected in our last quarter results. We have improved by 5 or 6% share of direct dispatch from most of our plants and grinding stations. We are also focusing a lot on improving our limestone reserves as well as strengthening our resources. A lot of work is going on. We are re-looking at the entire mining strategy. We are re-looking at our coal mine and also going forward adjacencies with the group on coal and coal basket, what we call it the solid fuel. You would have already seen a larger and a more focused thrust under GeoClean, which was earlier GeoCycle. We have rebranded it as GeoClean. We want to actually accelerate our alternate fuel by 2027, not so much in future, to 30%, and I believe that will be a game changer. And we will take our waste heat recovery to about 190 to 200 megawatt, which would basically mean 40% of our power will be green power. So I would say those would be some of the fundamental shifts which will allow us to emerge as lowest cost and also one of the you know, largest and the most you know, well branded cement company in the country. You know?
Yes. With these remarks, I thank you, Ajayji, and now I would request Ritesh to further proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Sumangal Nevita from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks to the management for conducting this call. We hope such interactions become a regular affair. My first question is on a growth vision. I mean, initially we had articulated a five-year target of doubling capacity to 140 million tons. We don't see that in the latest presentation. So if you could just share and articulate what is our medium and long-term capacity goals, and also what could be the likely mix of organic and inorganic.
Yeah, hi, this is Ajay here. I'll take this question. Number one, we remain committed on doubling the capacity goal, which is a five-year goal we had set in September 16th on the day of the takeover. As of now, we are looking at all greenfield, brownfield expansions within the group, number one. Number two, we believe there is still potential within our assets to spread them more. So we are actually looking at releasing some clinker from debottlenecking, and we already started some work on that direction. Today, I will not be able to share that with you. Maybe in the next analyst call, we will have a separate discussion around our growth plans. However, on the efficiency, we have started a whole lot of projects. As I already mentioned to you, we have a roadmap for waste heat recovery. We already have a roadmap on AFR improvement further. The first set of investments were made by Ambuja ACC 5 years back. We are now started the second leg of investments. Most of our plants have now fly ash dryers. Wherever they are not, we are investing in those because we believe that will help us going forward. Each of this, we are also looking at and very mindful, what does it bring on the efficiency side, on the OPEX improvement side. So, and these are all midterm and now and here. So all these investments have already started. In terms of new clinker lines, I will come back to you, as I mentioned, in the maybe next call. And on the M&A side, we are constantly evaluating for opportunities as and when they remain attractive. We obviously have become far more strategic in looking at new limestone mines, and you will keep hearing from time to time. However, we want to be mindful that we don't also want to acquire an asset where it is a winner's curse. So you will see that also in our strategy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, got it. That's very reassuring. Any particular number we are looking at, say, next 3 years, 5 years?
I rather not, hazard a guess here. When we come back, we'll give you exact, details, which plants ordered and what is the commissioning date. So I think that would be a much more better way to address this.
Yeah.
Got it. That's very helpful. My second question is on this related party transactions. Just want to understand, is this payment for coal contracts to a related party, and is it a one-time thing or something which could continue? Also, I mean, as per our assessment, what could be the quantum and areas of related party transaction as far as the cement company is concerned with the other group companies on a steady-state basis?
Yeah. Thanks, Mangal. I will take that. So, Mangal, first of all, I will answer the second question. In terms of the related party, for example, between Ambuja and ACC, we are bringing lots of synergies between both the companies. During the erstwhile promoters, they had the approved RPT of almost 3,500 CR till December, which we have increased it to 3,000 CR between parent and subsidiary up to March. And prospectively also for next year, we see a more healthy working between both the companies. So that is one component of, say, a related party, which will be properly, will come to the shareholder and with the approvals of the requisite boards and all. That is one part. So on the other part, in terms of the Adani Group related party, we have not seen any significant for December quarter, except a few crores here and there, and that is very much within the fair and arm's length pricing basis. So I can just assure you, This goes through all the musters. I want to just highlight that we have almost like almost say 11 committees, Mangal, and a robust say framework. So we have almost like 7 committees which are purely governance committees, and these are not statutory committees. So therefore, I would say that the emphasis on the RPT is more between ACC and Ambuja, which prospectively they will be working more synergistically. On the core part, Mangal, again, I think I would say and allay any fears. There is no related party here. It is a proper trade, and I can go into little more detail. So we have entered into a contract which is unique, wherein we have a contractual agreement for supplies of almost 16 lakhs metric ton of, say, coal. This has to be supplied over a period of, say, 6 months, and we expect that this will be completed between March to June quarter. Over here, we have put a cap on the overall price for the supplies. This is a CIF agreement on the port of discharge, like, say, Gangavaram, Goa, or Mundra. So there's a cap on the overall set price, which is $157, and any fall in the global benchmark. And here we have used the benchmark, which is the RB1 benchmark. So any fall over there will also get passed on to us. I would just give a simple synopsis that this import of coal actually has helped the company to bring down the overall cost of fuel in terms of rupees per kilocalories, because effectively this comes to me as a ballpark, as of now for say December, if I do an analysis, close to about say 2 rupees or 2.10 per kilocalorie, which is actually resulted when I said that 14% of the cost has run down on the fuel. This is a major also component. Also, I can in the same breath say that out of this 15 lakhs, almost 3 lakhs have been delivered already, and the shipments are there. So I think that summarizes my overall point on this particular trade. And going forward also, we will be evaluating opportunities to how to bring down our overall coal cost, because that also, as you know, in September, our companies were significantly affected, both ACC and Ambuja. And it is important to do some kind of hedge here for some partial quantity. So Manan, Mangal, this is where I would stand to.
No, this is very elaborate and very reassuring. Thank you so much. If in the same breath,
sorry,
I can just
interrupt, Mr. Sumangal. May we request that you return to the question queue? The participants waiting for their turn.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best to the team. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is on the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. So just to clarify, I assume that the counterparty for the coal transaction was a group company. Going forward, you know, the adjacencies that we are talking about, which should lead to synergy benefits and OPEX savings, can follow a similar transaction model where there is an upfront cash payment from ACC Ambuja, and in return there is effectively synergy benefits and OPEX cuts that we get. Would the coal model be replicated when we are talking about the various adjacencies at a group level?
So first, to clarify again, which I responded to Mangal, so there is no RPT in this particular trade. There is proper all the opinions and all properly taken. So that is one part. But whether we will be aspirational for the group service synergies on the coal and the fly ash and the logistics parts to bring synergies, absolutely we will be very much looking at it. We have been harping on this point time and again that the group has this adjacencies businesses which brings lots of advantage to our cement business. So we will be looking to those opportunities going forward. And of course, on arm's length basis, those principles remain there on the RPT transactions, and it will pass through the muster also when I mentioned that there is a robust governance framework here.
Uh, Thank you. My second question is that when we are looking at the presentation, we talk about Adani Cement, we talk about a consolidated level, and we have a growth plan at the consolidated entity. Is the current structure of having two list cores, ACC and Ambuja, separately the optimum one, or should we look at a collapse into one single listed entity at some point of time over the coming quarters?
Yeah, hi, this is Ajay here. So first thing we did on the day of acquisition, while we have two independent boards with independent governance, we have unified the management team which runs the cement business end to end. So I, as a CEO, am responsible for the entire cement business. Vinod, as a CFO, is responsible as a CFO for the entire cement business. Likewise, all function heads and even up to the regions, the regional cement manufacturing officers, sales and marketing officers, logistics officers, HR, finance, everybody looks at end-to-end for both the companies. So that's the first thing we have done. And also, the MSA framework, which was rolled out by the previous management, we almost made it like way of life on a day-to-day basis. It works seamlessly. And so whatever, advantages to be taken out on scale and size, we're already squeezing the lemon, I would say, to the last ounce, number one. Regarding your question on structure and, whether merger or not, I do not think today that is on our table. If and when it comes on the table, we'll certainly discuss about it.
Understood. So you're effectively running it as a one company internally, but externally we have two listed entities.
Yes, please.
That is true, and that is where the synergies are coming.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naveen Saharu from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Lucas, be a little louder. Unable to hear. What's the name, please?
Sir, this is Naveen from Nuvama.
Okay.
Naveen, you may please proceed.
Right. So thank you for the opportunity. This is Naveen from Nuvama, formerly known as Edelweiss Securities. Sir, two questions. One is, when we look at Ambuja's balance sheet, there is a very sizable increase in the capital advances to the tune of almost over 1,700 odd crore. Now, in the previous question, I think Kapoorji, Ajayji said that, those plans of expansions, specifically detailing clinker-wise or location-wise or exact capacity-wise, you will reveal in the next quarter. So I'm assuming they are in the works as we speak. So just wanted to understand, because of the total 2,600 crore plus amount that has been spent towards capex by Ambuja, the sizable portion lies in capital advances. So if you could just help us understand what exactly is the nature and what is the capex under consideration. Thank you.
Yeah, good. So I'll take it. First of all, about 600 is lying in inventories, which I think is a normal business. We have a plan, as I laid out in my opening, to look at three levers. One is now and here. Second was logistics and supply chain related. And third was growth and expansion. Within growth and expansion, again, one is, going out, setting up a new brownfield kiln and new greenfield clinker grinding units. But the second way, optimum way in between is to start getting out a little more clinker from your old kilns. In the process, you also make them more competitive. You reduce the thermal energy, you improve the coolers, you make investments in your mills. You put grinding expansions, packers, buying new rakes, all that. We believe in a short mid-term, I would say, around 10,000 crores is what we have envisaged. And this is what the work in progress you're already seeing in the balance sheet. We'll obviously give you more details in time to come. Each of them is highly accretive and also fastest, bang on our buck. So I think that's where we are.
No, I appreciate it. And you said 10,000 crores in envisaged towards this capex is really heartening. And those benefits, I'm sure, will come. My question still remains, why not under CWIP, if I may just try to understand this a little better in the interest of everybody? and why in capital advances?
So just to address on that point, this moves from capital advances to WIP with the ongoing progresses. So this is the milestones. This will keep on adding to the CWIP. For example, as you see, the Ametha project also, which is on the overall say completion part, all of that, for example, with the milestones, it keeps added to the CWIP part. So I would just say that this is the factor of completion of the milestones, then the accounting wise it moves from advances to CWIP. And this overall CAPEX plan, which Mr. Kapoor highlighted, that is a program over say 18 months across the various segments which he mentioned.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. My second question is, of course,
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Naveen. So may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satyadeep Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. First on capital allocation. We do understand that there is no debt on the balance sheet of ACC and Ambuja, but there was debt taken at the promoter entity for these acquisitions. Would there be, as you look at capital allocation, would there be need to upstream some of the cash for debt payments at all, or would the entire cash flow for ACC and Ambuja would go towards CAPEX? And tied to that, some of the previous questions, has there been any equipment ordering at all yet?
Yeah, thanks, Satyajit. So, Satyajit, there is a proper dividend distribution policy the company, both the companies have, and at an appropriate stage, if there is any development, it will be properly informed. So that should suffice, because it is a decision to be taken in, if at all. So as of now, this will go with the dividend distribution policy which is there.
Okay.
And some of these promoter-related questions, I would only request that there will be a proper say forum which can be addressed over in that forum, because here me and Ajay ji will discuss more on the operational performance of the company of the last quarter, and that is our first say full phase quarter. So my request is to all of you to respect to this point, please. Yeah.
And secondly, on the entire synergies on the logistics front, on the port front, we heard from some of the companies previously looking to transport cement, let's say from south to east, that the port charges become prohibitive, paying port charges in both outbound and inbound. And given there is Adani ports also that the company can leverage, but if the charges are going to be what are charged for other companies, how can that entire sea-based logistics model generate some synergies? Can you maybe throw some light on how that model could generate synergies for ACC and Ambuja?
So, good question. First is, yes, there's a lot of opportunity because the entire coastline, we do have our ports of the group. And we will certainly, and we are certainly looking at a complete coastal sea transportation strategy. Little early in the day for me to comment, and I will keep this position going forward. When we have something firm, we'll talk about it, but in the planning stage, it doesn't make sense to talk about it. To answer your second question, it also goes back to some previous people who asked the same question on RPT. End of the day, Adani APSEZ is a related party. So whatever transaction we do, we'll obviously be keeping in the spirit of the RPT, and obviously pricing framework will be that order on both the sides, from their side as well as on our side.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Chaudhary from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Two questions. Firstly, on the fly ash, if you can throw some light on the long-term contract which you mentioned signing with our companies to bring down the cost, what percentage of your requirement will this cater to, and is this a RPT, and will there be advance payment for this as well?
Advance payment for fly ash to the government power stations advance payments to Coal India for the coal procurement, advance payment for the petcoke for the refineries of the government, advance payment to the GEBs for the power we buy is something a bone of contention all the time and not going away anyway. As far as your second question is on fly ash contracting, we certainly have a very strong group adjacencies here within our group, and we are examining it, and we're going to take full advantage of it. Again, all the decisions will be based on RPT. If, let's say, group has a power plant in X location and it's offering fly ash at, say, Y rupees, we will also be offered the fly ash at Y rupees, because end of the day, there is a separate CEO sitting and running the power business as I run the cement business, and he also has the same set of stakeholders as I have. So I think having said that, it obviously makes life more easier when you have your own group company. So the risk of payment for them is zero, and the risk of delivery for me is also zero. So I think to that extent, it becomes a fantastic opportunity. I can only tell you that we are looking at exploring each and every mode, but actually exploring a lot on our own wagons and taking advantage also of the railways scheme, which is open to everybody. But we are going to exploit it to the hilt and in the process reduce our raw material cost.
And therefore fly ash drivers also, which we are going to install at many locations to take the benefit.
Yeah.
Got it.
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah. My second question is more at a broader industry level, your thoughts on pricing from a medium to long-term trajectory. While we know of your goal to achieve capacity scale and also to be the lowest cost producer, so given your adjacencies and all those things, but in the medium term to long term, do you like to retain those in your margins or to pass on some of the benefits? I just wanted to know your strategy on pricing.
I understood your question. You're saying, will this lead to drop in prices? Is that what you're saying?
No, as in, given you have multiple group level adjacencies, right, and that will lead to you being a lowest cost producer. So how would you want to sort of play with this? As in, would you want to sort of expand your margins or maybe pass on some of the benefits to the market?
I think it's a very, very, very tricky question. End of the day, basically the core essence of both the companies is known to you. ACC, strongest brands, one of the highest proportion of premium products, very premium in many markets in India. Ambuja, again, a very strong brand, one of the strongest, I would say, in many markets in India. Again, a good portfolio of premium products. Both the companies are largely trade focused, I would say upwards of 85% of its total production. Both the companies are largely blended cement focused. That also allows it a fantastic opportunity. Now on top of it, if you replace high cost fly ash with a optimized fly ash and raw materials, you can see what shift is going to happen on the bottom line. However, if I let it go through the top line, I think I'll not be doing justice. So we will obviously try to strengthen the brands. We will like to enter newer geographies where we expand. We would like to enter newer and emerging segments, including, and I repeat this time, so far we have not spoken about B2B, large wire segment. We have 78 plus RMX plants. We will expand them to over 250 in the midterm. And that will be our entry into the large wire market, India's, the infrastructure market, and we'll play the full game there. And whatever products are needed for that market, we will develop and supply. So I think we rather play that game by reduced cost than dropping the price or, doing that. But however, we will do whatever it takes to win in the market.
There are many market factors, so it will be taken that point of time. So Girish, it is suffice to say the focus is on cost, and I think you will also appreciate. Rest is it's a very competitive industry, so it will be driven by the various market factors.
Got it. Thanks. That was very helpful.
Thank you, Girish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Jain from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon. Sir, my first question was, you alluded earlier in the call that ACC Ambuja are, practically operating as one entity to the extent that even on the ground, the team is kind of same. Now, given these are two listed entities with, you know, different minority investors, how are we, you know, kind of ensuring, you know, the optimization of profits for both companies in this case?
So, a good question. As I mentioned, while we run the management as one management, we still operate the companies as independent entities for the statutory and all legal and regulatory purpose. We have a approved plan of MSA, which is the master shareholder agreement approved by the shareholder, and we are governed within the guidelines of that, which allows the selling of products of each other, which go through the CEO of audit committee, independent review, and I'm very happy that our governance is top class. So within that, and that's why in time to come, we also focus, while we focus on individual entities, we also focus on the entire combined entity, because when the entire combined entity wins, both the shareholders and both the value creation is taken care of. But it's never at one at the cost of the other, to answer your question.
Sir, don't you think, you know, if the fleet on the ground is common, there is a chance of conflict of interest here? Do you think, do we run that risk?
Because I understood where you're coming. We have 35 locations, you know, more or less, let's say 50-50 of Ambuja and ACC. At the location, the people who are running the site, they are totally focused on improving the efficiency of that site. So I don't see any conflict there. Then we have procurement organizations who buy coal, who buy fly ash, who buy slag, who buy gypsum. When you go on scale of a 67 or 70 million entity and time to come 140 million entity, you can imagine what benefits accrue, and the benefits which accrue to both the entities. When we look at our group as a synergy, again, group looks at both of them as same, and they try and pass on the benefits to the both the entities similarly. That's one part. On IT side, for example, today a lot of spend happens in making a new digital strategy, IT, SAP, etc. Again, when you go and talk of, you know, one set of negotiation, the cost is far better. When in the market, our frontline salespeople are still separate. The frontline sales managers are still separate. However, the leadership on top is same, because end of the day, we are selling cement, right? We are not selling apples and oranges. So to that extent, I think you're very well aligned.
So my second question is, on this coal.
May we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is in the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead. Amit, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead. Mr. Amit Murarka, we are unable to hear you. As there's no response from the current participant, we'll move on to the next. That is in the line of Hiren Dasani from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Hiren from Goldman Sachs Asset Management. I just wanted a clarification on this coal transaction. So categorically asking you that there is no Adani Group entity as the counterparty at the first, second, third level, whichever way you want to think about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the lines of the management reconnected. Over to you, sir. Mr. Dasani.
Sorry, friends, some technical on this net phones, but now Amit, you were on your question, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, so this is Hiren from Goldman Sachs Asset Management.
Okay,
just wanted to go back to this coal transaction of a long-term purchase agreement. So just wanted to categorically ask you that even at the indirect level, or, you know, at whichever level you want to think about, there is no Adani Group entity as a counterparty there?
No, Hiren, I'm clearly highlighting it again. No counterparty of Adani entity.
Okay.
And this trade is overall beneficial for the company.
Sure. Now you explained that quite in detail, so thanks for that. And just quickly on that, I mean, I'm just curious that the group has so much of coal-related businesses, whether it is trading or whether it is, you know, handling and all. So why did we have to go outside of the group to enter into such long-term coal agreement?
Yeah, that's a good question, Hiren. In fact, the group only has helped us to properly negotiate this. As I say, each trader has its own position, Hiren. Therefore, one would assume, depending on the position of the trader, how and what quotes one can provide. So I think when we found that the group offer has been relatively higher on that point of time, and this was somewhere in October, after the results of September, when we found that we bled completely on the coal in October mid, then we quickly geared up, and with support of group only, then we have negotiated this hard. So it is suffice to say, traders have their own unique positions, and this is true in many transactions. So it's not that every time you will have a group to offer it. So, for example, fly ash. I have group companies having fly ash. Do I compulsorily buy it from them? Answer is no. It's a factor of what, as Karan Ajayji mentioned, for example, that we will be very on an arm's length basis, fair pricing basis, we will evaluate which is in the interest of the cement business. And each CEO will be responsible to answer to their board also. So I think,
Sure. And just a final question on this. I mean, compared to the ACC agreement in terms of quantum, both value and volume, for Ambuja, it is substantially lower. So, I mean, how do we kind of think about that?
Yeah, good question again, Hiren. Ambuja has a captive coal mine, which is, you know, that Gare Palma. This mine caters to almost 20-25% of the overall, say, or maybe one-third it is higher requirement of the Ambuja. In case of ACC, it is completely based on supplies from third party, and hence, therefore, the volume of ACC import on this trade is higher as compared to Ambuja.
Got it. Thank you so much, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rakesh Vyas from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I thank you so much for this opportunity, and welcome back, Mr. Kapoor. I have two questions, and I'll just quickly run through them. First one is on the cost saving. So both ACC and Ambuja through Project Parvat and ICANN has embarked on cost saving initiative in the last 3 years or so, and they have seen reasonable success. So beyond this, what is the quantum of cost saving citrus paribus that you think we will be able to achieve through either the OPEX that we are doing or the group synergies, if you can highlight that? The second question is on the capacity expansion itself. Assuming that we are planning to double our capacity through organic route, it essentially means around 15-16% CAGR on capacity addition. I just want to understand how flexible this growth plan could be, because although we remain fairly hopeful as an industry on demand growth, but if demand does not have conducive growth environment going forward, how flexible are we to scale down our growth ambition out there? Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the lines of the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Friends, sorry, now we have connected through mobile. There is some problem on the landline. Sorry about that. Yes. Please go ahead.
Mr. Vyas, may we request you to repeat your questions for the benefit of the management team?
No, I think it's very clear on this cost side. It was coming on the second part, so let him only go on the second part.
Sorry, yeah. So my second question essentially was around the capacity growth plans that we have, doubling of capacity in 5 years. Essentially, if all is organic, means 15% capacity growth CAGR. And although as an industry, we remain always very hopeful of demand environment, I'm just trying to understand how flexible we would be in our capacity ambition if demand does not seems very conducive in that sense.
Okay, great. So let me answer the first one on the ongoing efficiency programs which both the companies, ACC and Ambuja, were running. Obviously, when you join a takeover company, keep going whatever you're doing good. However, we believe that we can certainly bring in focus, for example, from where we were on waste heat recovery to where we ought to be. And what is the gold standard to be second to none? So clearly, we'll expand 100% waste heat. Clearly, I'm not highlighting it today, but as you understand, lot of experience rests within the group on RE, solar, etc. So we are still on a planning stage, and I'll talk about it on the time how we will use that adjacency to become more green and also more competitive. Again, we run a large part of our business with our own CPPs. Here again, we have a very big opportunity to work with our colleagues on the power side and see how best we can run our power plants more efficiently. And there are advantages of where again we have agile trading on the exchange. So just to lay out on one set of KPIs, the second set of KPIs is coal mining, coal focus for more and more domestic coal. So I think that's another area where we're going to work very closely. And I believe we can certainly bring a lot of value addition here. The third set of KPIs are around logistics, like somebody already asked me before, and I also mentioned. Own your various schemes, the GPWS, understanding of our Adani Logistics colleagues on this area can certainly help us. Setting up a vast network of cement terminals and grinding units in near short term, which I believe is value accretive day one. Not only it allows you to take positions closer to the customer, you also move more cost-effective manner through your own wagons or through railways or through ships as we have done in Ambuja way back. And then when you move out in the market, you go direct, so you avoid warehousing and you go straight to the end user. So it allows both better quality, less seepages, and lower logistics costs. So these are three areas. On top, we are already doing alternate fuels. We have embarked on it and we said how we can accelerate it. So we have actually taken a target of going as high as 30%, which I believe is possible because some of the plants, even now as I speak to you, within our group at about 20% plus. So if they can do it, why not the rest? So for that, we are also making set of investments. So I think what perhaps was not done in the past was, spending money in also debottlenecking existing assets, putting a lot of money on AFR, alternate fuels. So I think those things we are going to go in a big manner. Then, of course, we do have a lot of reserves of limestone at our existing sites. So brownfield obviously looks as a very attractive proposition. You can do it at a very cost-effective manner. And I think here, again, a more domestic way of looking, more Indian standards, more in-market, I think those are the areas which will immediately help us set up these capacities at a reasonable cost and within a time. Now, to answer your question on the demand side, typically 8 to 10% is what we believe will be the cement demand on the back of GDP of about 6 to 8%. There will be a good year, there will be a bumper year, then there will be not so great year. I think that will not deter us from our growth ambition because we are building India for a longer term. Our per capita consumption still remains in mid 200s. And I believe there's an opportunity to go to 500. Even if you look at Thailand on a per capita income basis, India had about $2,000.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We are unable to hear you. Members of the management team?
We are able to hear you, Yuka. Were you able to hear us?
Sir, we had lost your audio for the last few seconds.
Okay. And I'll just complete my... but more or less, I'll finish my response. If there's anything more, I can add
on
to it.
Got it. Just I understood your point regarding your ambition around growth, sir. Just one clarification, if I may seek on my first question. At this point of time, would you be in a position to highlight to us on the quantum of cost saving that you are targeting as a group, or we will also discuss this at a later stage? Thank you so much.
I think let the numbers do the talking. I think that is the better thing to do.
But to also highlight to you that in terms of EBITDA margin expansions in rupees per ton basis, we do look forward to achieve, say, 4 digits on the EBITDA in coming quarters, which will be essentially driven by the overall, say, improvement on the cost factors. So, Rakesh, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that is very clear. Thank you so much.
Perfect.
Thank you. The next question is on the line for Ritesh Shah from Investec Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Quickly, two questions. One is, sir, you did indicate on the dividend policy that we have already in place. Sir, can you please put across your thoughts on the royalty payments? I think it has been taken off. Will that continue to be the case going forward? How should we understand this variable?
So the erstwhile technical know-how fee or the royalty, which was being charged by the erstwhile promoter, that has been no more going to be there as we progress. So that was basically around the mid of September that all the payments to the erstwhile promoter were made, and including if I also have to add that they were also supporting us on the IT transition. There was also this element of the TSA which we have disclosed, this transactional services agreement which we had with Holcim. So for 3 months they have actually provided us those services, and which is coming in form of the exceptional items. Prospectively, for the March quarter, there is not going to be any payment. So that will be value accretion in terms of cash flows close to 270 odd crores, which will be saving by saving on this outgoing of the TSA. That is how I think, and I should compliment my team, and it's important to highlight that the entire transition of the IT from the erstwhile promoter server to the new promoter server, it was done in a record, say, 4 months in terms of deliberation, but the actual commissioning or the live transition happened in, say, 7 days' time, and it was like a 17 TB data. So this is like one of the highest successful transition of IT platform, and this has also saved the group or the companies going forward. The dependency will not be there on the erstwhile promoter.
So, sir, no royalties, right? Will that be a fair assessment?
As of now, we have not having any royalty item in our P&L, and also there is nothing on the cards as of now.
Sure, that is helpful. Sir, the second question was more on growth. It was pertaining to Ambuja's ongoing expansion plan. I see in slide number 24, we have a mention of that, but there is no timeline corresponding to it. Is it possible if you could please qualify that, given this were already announced projects?
Ajayji mentioned to you in the earlier discussion that we are looking for this CapEx program in a time horizon of around, say, 18 months' time, but in more detail, for example, Ritesh, as we highlighted that the CapEx program can be discussed in the next call, because 18-month program is what we are looking at, which would mean that from here somewhere like around June 24 or say September 24, we should be able to complete all the WHRS initiatives, all the AFR initiatives, all the growth on some of the DUs, and so on and so forth. So I think the debottlenecking, the efficiency CapEx is the green circular green cement capex, all of that we are targeting to expedite and achieve. Amita highlighted in the previous call also that in the previous discussion also that we are targeting that by end of March the pre-trials will start happening and the commercial production will start somewhere like June or July, but maybe we may see a good improvement in May itself. So that is how for example we are looking at the timelines.
Sure. Sir, just a clarification. So I think Ambuja had around 6-7 million tons, which was still pending. So what we are calling out is in 18 months, so that is something which stands commissioned. Would that reading be right?
Yes. I think you are on more or less, you are on track. But let us come back and, talk about it in a separate call where we actually disclose the entire strategy because, there's a lot more to it. And I don't want to, this is purely last quarter results, so I want to focus on that.
So this is like a confirmation, as of now on the cost structures page, I think the journey of 67 to 140 will come in a more elaborate manner, but as of now what we have in hand is what we discussed with you.
Well, sir, that's perfect. And sir, just last question, can you please reconfirm the commitment from the promoters on the incremental warrant infusion? I think 5,000 crores has already come in. What are the timelines over here? I think that's the point. I think it's important if you could please touch upon that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Ritesh. I think as of now, it's like warrants within which they have this 18 months time window, and so they remain there. I mean, like the timeline remain there for them. I won't be able to comment on their timing specifically, but I can just suffice to add that company sitting on both the companies on a principal basis, they're sitting on almost 9,500 crores of cash. On top of it, we are generating on operating cash flows almost like 4,500 to 5,000 crores. So there is a substantial amount of equity and the network lying there. We are a generate company. So I think I'm looking more from a overall CapEx program on these amounts. And of course, promoters or the parent company will take their call. I cannot comment on that as of now.
Sure. Thank you so much for the answers. Lizan, over back to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ritesh Shah for his closing comments.
Thank you, Lizan. I'd like to thank the management for a detailed call and the remarks. I'll again hand it back to Binoji, sir, if you have any closing remarks. Thank you so much.
No, I again thank you on from my side and also from Ajayji and Karan Bhai's side. Thank you to all of you. And do excuse for those couple of technical glitches. We would love to engage now more often with you. And if you have any other questions, we can always offline connect on the subject. Thank you very much, Ritesh. Thank you, Lucas. And thanks, everyone. I rest myself on this.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Investec Capital Services, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you very much, all of you again. Have a great day, friends.